was a kid, I played baseball and golf. And the one thing that my coaches impressed upon me that was most important about both sports or any other sport that I took part in was the importance of follow through. Just like he just explained, it doesn't matter the sport, whether it's football, tennis, baseball, or golf. Without follow through, you sacrifice accuracy, consistency, and good results. This morning, I want to say that the same thing applies to what you believe. When it comes to faith, if you believe in something or say that you believe in something, but your life and your actions don't reflect or make any sort of difference in your life, well, then what you say you believe doesn't actually matter. If there's no difference, then what you believe and what you say doesn't actually matter. My name is Josh DePasacurita. I'm the associate pastor here at Seneca Community Church. I'm very excited to be here this morning. This is a bit of a kids-oriented sermon. You can see some rocket ships in the background, and I'm very excited to get into it. But a little bit of family update. It's good to see you guys after Christmas. Welcome back. I hope you guys had a good Christmas. We had a great Christmas. I've got some of our family and friends here today, which is wonderful. We had a great Christmas over the Christmas. One thing that Michael and I did find out was that the baby that we have that is due in May is going to be a boy. Yep. We're very excited, so I'm super excited, and that was wonderful. That was actually Christmas Day we found that out. It was wonderful. So that was wonderful. We didn't want to make a Facebook announcement or anything like that, so here is our announcement. It's a boy. So you might see some people in the seats this morning who you might be not as familiar with. We invited 20-some-odd people this morning who are extended family in Christ to be able to join us this morning. So if you see them, give them a warm, hearty SEC welcome. So this morning we're talking about follow through. We just celebrated Christmas, and when we celebrate Christmas, and the decorations are still up here. When we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Jesus coming, and we celebrate believing in him. And when we do that, I also want to talk about today how you actually follow through with that, how you follow through in your life with Jesus. It's not just about celebrating that he came, and not just about believing in him, but how do you follow through in your life with Jesus? Now, I'm also the youth pastor here at Seneca Community Church. I get to work at the youth group. In the last few months at youth group, we've been walking through the book of Mark. Now, Mark is kind of a shorter gospel account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And it's shorter and simpler. And your message guide this morning, a little piece of paper in your message guide, is a little bit shorter, a little simpler. A fewer blanks for you to fill in, but also includes some space and then some crayons for you to doodle or to take your own notes, things like that. And there's plenty of coloring space for those kids who want to have something to occupy them as well. Now, you may be wondering, what do rockets and astronauts and space pictures all over that study guide, or if you're a kid in Kid Zone, or if somehow the rumor got out to you, you're thinking, okay, where is the Lego? And we will get to that. And I'm very excited to get to that. But let's look at Scripture first. If you have a Bible, you can open it up to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, you can turn that. If you do not have a Bible and you want a physical copy of the Bible, there's a physical copy right in the chairs right in front of you. You can take that and turn to page 689, and that's where you'll find Mark chapter 8, 689. That's the NIV version. The scriptures will also be right up here behind me on the screen for you, and it's also in your program. So what will be on screen and what will be in your program is the NLT, which is a little different than the Bible in the pew, but that is okay. Now, as we read, one question I want you to have in mind, and that one question is the first blank in your message guide. The question is, I believe, now what? Now what? And Chris, if I could get the next slide, my phone is not connected anymore, that would be wonderful. I believe, now what? There it is. I believe, now what? Let's read Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. This is Jesus talking, and what he's saying about following him is that believing in Jesus means giving up your own way. That's hard to do. That is very hard to do, especially if you're used to getting your own way. If you're a kid and you're used to getting dessert at the end of every dinner time, and then one dinner, you happen to not have dessert available, well, that would be the end of the world. Right, parents? Right, kids? It's the end of the world. If there's no dessert, it's the end of the world. But if we believe in Jesus, that shouldn't be the case, because what we want doesn't matter so much anymore. What we want doesn't matter so much anymore. Believing in Jesus means, as this verse says, taking up your cross. Well, what does that mean? Well, the cross is a symbol of sacrifice. So it simply means being willing to sacrifice things or being willing to give up. So instead of complaining that you don't have dessert, you might give your dessert away to somebody else. Or you might even preemptively, instead of using the money that you would have used on dessert, you might instead save that money so that you can buy something nice for somebody else or give it away to somebody who has need. It's no longer about what you want, it's about what Jesus wants from you. Now, that can be easy or it can be really hard when it comes to something like dessert. That can be a pretty big issue, but ultimately, it's dessert. It doesn't really matter in the end. But what about your life? What about where you spend your time? Who you spend your time with? Who you play games with? How you treat your siblings? How you treat your parents, your teachers at school, your fellow classmates? Then it starts to make a big difference. If you're giving up your own way and not living for yourself, it starts to become a little harder. It's not easy to give up your life in your own way, but it is worth it. Next slide, please. This is the rest of that chapter in Mark 8, 34 through 38. First verse is, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. And then it says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in glory of his Father with the holy angels. So what's the alternative? What's the alternative to following Jesus? Well, you might gain the whole world. You might have all the dessert you could possibly want, all the things you could possibly desire, all the food, all the drink, all the substance, anything you could possibly want, you might gain the whole world. But you will lose your soul. You will lose your soul. In the end, you're going to die. Because everybody dies in the end. And when you do die, you can't take any of that world that you gained with you. When you die, everyone stands before God eventually. And when we stand before God, if you have chosen the world instead of him, he will say, away from me, I never knew you. You chose the world instead of me, and I am ashamed of you, because you did not know me and I did not know you. Your soul will be lost forever in a place that God calls hell. And that place is a place of fire, of burning, and ultimately what's the worst part of it is you are separated from any love, separated from any satisfaction, and completely separate from God and other people. And that is a very bad place to be for all of eternity. And that is for the people who don't believe in Jesus. But the people who do believe in Jesus, in the end, they save their lives. In the end, instead of holding on to their own lives, they give it up for the sake of the good news that we are saved from sin, that we have this stain on our lives that God comes in and saves us from. Each of us has turned to our own way. We're all obsessed with doing our own thing. That's called sin. And Jesus loves us so much that he came to die for us. He came to live for us and then to die for us and take our punishment of death on himself so that when we believe in him, we can have life. And then he rose again so that we could have life forever. That is the good news, and that is amazing. people who believe in Jesus saved their lives in the end, and they also saved their lives from being wasted trying to gain the world, because it's an endless search that will never be fulfilled. So the big question is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? It's a big question. It may not be one that you can answer right now, or might be one that you want to answer right now. Yes, I want to believe in Jesus. Or yes, I have believed in Jesus for quite a while. He's amazing. I want to give up my life for him. How do I do that? Great question. Well, first it starts with believing. Amazing. I believe. And then we're done, right? Okay, I'm not going to hell. Great, fantastic. That's wonderful, amazing. I believe in Jesus. We don't need to go to there. And then great, I can live my life for myself. No, that's not where we stop. We don't stop at believing. If I say I believe something, but my actions and my life don't reflect that belief, well, then what I say I believe does not matter, because it has not made a difference. You don't stop with I believe. That would be like stopping the Apollo 11 space mission on the moon. This is the Lego model of the Saturn V rocket. It is my favorite Lego set that I own. And what's really cool about this Lego set is that this is not just some fake thing that someone made up. This is a real rocket that was actually made in the 1960s by the United States of America and the NASA Space Apollo program. To give you a reference for scale, because this model is actually made to scale, this is what a regular-sized human being would look like compared to this massive... Oh. This massive rocket. Now, one of the beautiful things about Lego is actually part of my favorite part is that Lego is always able to be broken apart and put back together. And this is actually meant to break apart, which is actually very cool. Yes. Oh, thank you. So that's the scale of a person. So now, this is an average-sized person, a little under 6 foot. And that means that that person, if you look actually at the bottom of this rocket, at these big, massive booster rockets, a person, like almost 2.5 people, fit across this giant booster rocket. You can actually see this rocket for yourself if you go to the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and you can see this rocket for yourself. When I was 8 years old, I actually got to see the rocket for myself in person, and it was one of the reasons why I have this Lego set, because it blew my mind. It was just absolutely mind-blowing, and I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the massive scale of this rocket that sent 3 astronauts into space. Now, those 3 astronauts, when they got on this rocket and sent into space, didn't just go by themselves. They had a whole team of people with them called Mission Control. Mission Control was either in Houston or it was in Tampa Bay, Florida. And in Houston, they had the Mission Control Center, and it was a whole team of people. Every single one of them had a role. Every one of them had some sort of monitor that they were monitoring on the spaceship, and they were making sure that the astronauts were all doing what they were supposed to be doing. I think that's, there we go. So, haha. the Mission Control. Mission Control is making sure everybody was where they were supposed to be. And when they set out for the Apollo 11 mission, and yes, this is the 11th iteration of the same mission, they set off into space and blasted off. The 3 astronauts would get in this tiny little capsule up here, and as they blasted off into space, they would make sure everything was going well, and they'd blast off. It was fantastic. As they were going into space, and this is why this is made to break apart, as they were going into space, they would use the fuel rockets from the bottom part of the rocket to escape the Earth's gravity and into the atmosphere. They would lose the bottom part, not the top part. They'd lose the bottom part of the rocket, and the secondary engines would fire. I'm just going to keep it apart at this point. They would lose the bottom part of the rocket, and then the secondary engines would fire. This engine would get them out of the Earth's atmosphere. Then as they were in the atmosphere, this engine would fire. And when they got into the atmosphere, oh, part of me went way over there. Oh, thank you, Martha. Appreciate that. Need that. That's where all the astronauts are. They're right there. I practiced this like 2 or 3 times and I didn't break it once, so here we are. Huh? What? Which? Oh, this one. Thank you, appreciate that. And then the tower's here. Okay, cool. So once they got into the atmosphere, they actually would lose all that, so ignore that. They would lose all that, and all that would be left of that giant spaceship is these two little things. The three astronauts are in this command module. The command module would attach to the lunar module, and then they would head for the moon. As they went to the moon, they would take a couple of days. They actually would take a couple of days to get to the moon by the time they got here. So as they were going onto the moon, they would orbit the moon. Two guys from this command module would go into the lunar lander. As they went into the lunar lander, one guy would stay in the command module, and then they would separate. This guy would come down to land on the moon, and this guy would stay orbiting around the moon. And as he orbited around the moon, he was taking pictures, he was making sure these guys were doing great, and they were still communicating with mission control back home. As the lunar lander landed on the moon, they would get out. And this is my second favorite Lego set. And I will try not to drop this one. And this is a full-scale model of the lunar lander to minifigure scale. These are the little space guys. This would land on the moon. I've got a little surface of the moon here. Surface of the moon. This is what the surface of the moon would look like. It was very dusty. It had craters. And the gravity was about a sixth of the Earth's gravity, so you could kind of float around. It was very cool. So when they finally landed on the moon. There we go. Thank you for the sound effect assistance. When they finally landed on the moon, the two astronauts got off. They did their thing. Indeed, they said it's one small step for a minifigure. No, they said it's one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind. That was in 1969. They actually landed on the moon. They planted the American flag. And then they were done. No, I'm kidding. That's not where it ends. That's the analogy that I'm trying to get at here, is believing in Jesus and stopping there would be like stopping the Apollo 11 space mission right there on the moon. It's amazing and it's exciting, but that's not the end. The astronauts would then get back onto the lunar lander, and they would actually leave this part of the lunar lander here. The top part would go up into space. Okay, so that would actually stay on the moon. It's still there to this day. This would come up into space, and I'm going to switch back over to my mini model here because I need the command module again. They would go back up into space. This would meet the command module. The astronauts would all get onto the command module. They would slingshot around the moon. They'd slingshot around the moon, and then they'd head back for Earth. That would take another couple of days. Once they got to the Earth, they didn't need this anymore, and they didn't need this anymore. And all that's left of that giant rocket is this. Three guys sitting in the command module headed towards the atmosphere. And this is actually the most dangerous part. You might think that space and lack of oxygen and all those things are dangerous, and you're right, they are. But the most dangerous part was entering Earth's atmosphere, because Earth's atmosphere is very, very, very hot. Earth's atmosphere is able to melt metal, burn rocks, and destroy asteroids as it comes in, which is wonderful for us here living on Earth, not so wonderful for some astronauts trying to get back in the atmosphere. So they would have to reinforce the bottom of the command module with heat shields. And they were able to do so, and once they did actually get through the atmosphere and finally got through, there'd be some radio silence with mission control. That was kind of an anxiety-inducing time. And then finally they'd get radio contact again, and the mission would not be over then. They'd still have to get down to Earth's level, and then the parachutes would deploy, and then the parachutes would work, and then they would splash down into the ocean. And it was at that point that their mission was done. It wasn't done on the moon, it was done at splashdown. This is what it would look like at splashdown. These are like little floaty devices. You can actually see the kind of the command module a little bit there. And that's a little example of that. The point being is the mission's not done on the moon. The mission's not done until splashdown. And the same is true for our faith in Jesus. When he shows his love to you, when he shows you how much he loves you by being willing to come and take your punishment of death on himself for you, that, and believing in that, can kind of be an out-of-this-world experience. It can kind of feel like landing on the moon. It can really feel like, oh my gosh, this is life-changing, this is amazing. But to stop there would just be silly. To stop there means that that life-changing experience didn't quite make a difference for you. You can actually make a difference. And as the next blank is, as a follower of Jesus, I can make a difference. Because if I say I believe something, but my actions in my life tell you otherwise, then what I say I believe doesn't make a difference. So as a follower of Jesus, I can make a difference. How can we do that? Well, the first way we can do that is by reading and studying God's word. There's a little flyer in your program that you have in front of you with four different options of some Bible plans. I made that just so that you guys have some practical options. You can download the Bible app, and that'll actually remind you every single day of to read the Bible, to read it, to study it. And why do we do that? And I actually had a conversation recently with a friend who was like, you know, I know we're supposed to do that, but why do we actually do that? Well, why we actually do that is because without being in the Word and without dedicating our time to Him and putting Him first, we sacrifice consistency, accuracy, and good results. Without follow-through, same with sports, we sacrifice consistency, accuracy, and good results. If we want to know what Jesus has called us to do and how to make a difference, we have to read about it in the Bible. And if we don't do that, then we're not going to know. It also helps us maintain that discipline because life is not just, life is hard. It's full of zero gravity. It's full of different things. And I could make the analogy go on for forever. I won't do that. The second way we can make a difference is by being part of a church team. Just like for the Apollo space missions, they needed mission control in order to monitor their life signs, vitals, etc. The church is that for the Jesus mission. It is that for the Jesus mission, his love and good news getting to the world. That's his mission. You can make a difference. You can help each other stay the course. We can help you. You can help me. We can make a difference in other people's lives, and other people can make a difference in ours. If you're looking around for a church and SEC is within, you're checking out Seneca Community Church, I encourage you to look at our bulletin and look at some different options that you can connect with. Fill out our Connect card. Come to a What's Next class. That's probably the best way to figure out, okay, who is SEC? Who are we? Come to a What's Next class. There's some information, I think, out there, or there's some in the comments. Come to a What's Next class. Join the growth process. That's another way that you can read and study the God's word and also be part of our church team, is joining the growth process. I encourage you to find somebody there. Just talk to people. As a matter of fact, actually, I could say do this, do that, do this, fill out this other thing. But to be a part of a church team, you have to talk to people. Oh, talking to people. No, you have to talk to people. And it's a wonderful thing to talk to people. And I encourage you to talk to people and just ask, hey, what does it mean to be part of Seneca Community Church? Or ask, hey, what is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Has he made a difference in your life? What kind of difference has he made in your life? And you'll be able to hear it, which is awesome. And the last thing that the third thing that we can do is love other people. Loving other people is how we make a difference. Read the book of 1 John. If you want anywhere else to start besides those four options I gave you, read the book of 1 John. It's very practical. Talking about if we know Jesus, we will love people. If we know Jesus, we will love people. Because loving people is how we show that we believe. That's the difference. The real difference that Jesus makes in our lives is when we love people. Now, we are going to need a lot of help doing that because none of us are good at it. But it is a way of showing how we love people because God first loved us. And that is the real difference. We need to grow in it, but we need to love it, love the people. We need to do it. And the last thing is sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. The good news that Jesus is here, that Jesus came. He wants other people to be joining his team. This is not only the most satisfying way to live life, because we know that when we're doing things for him, it is not wasted, but it's also the only way to win your soul. Because if we don't believe in Jesus and we love the world instead, we will not be with him, and that will not be good. When the mission's over, when we die, we want to be with Jesus, which means when we live, we want to be on Jesus' mission. The final blank that I have before you, or actually it's not the final blank, this is a couple more. The mission is the third point, is the mission isn't over until splashdown. The mission is not over until splashdown. I want to say one more thing from Scripture, and then I want to talk about Apollo 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 13 says this. It says, "Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." This is the other thing that jumped out at Mark from Mark to me when we were going through it as a youth group. It's like, okay, yes, here's how you follow Jesus. You follow through, give up your life. And you'd expect that if you're giving up your life, there'd be some sort of reward. And there is. You get to be with Jesus forever. But also, while we're here on the earth, everyone will hate you because of Jesus. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This verse is repeated through every single gospel account. It's in Mark, and then if we go to the next slide, it's in Matthew. Pretty much the same thing. You'll be hated, everyone, because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. It's also in Luke, although it gives a little bit of a promise with it. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. And finally, in John chapter 16, and this is my favorite one of these verses, and it says, "I have told you these things." This is Jesus talking. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This world is going to hate you. If you dedicate your life to giving up your own way, the world, who wants everyone to have their own way, is going to hate you. That's not a cheery thought, but it is a good one when we think about how Jesus has asked us to endure to the end. So just simply knowing there will be people who will hate you and will want to make your life miserable because they do not love Jesus. So they're going to make your life miserable. There will also be things that you can't control and no one else can control, like getting sick or losing all your money or getting into an accident. And those sorts of things will try to make your life miserable while you're here on earth. Now, for the crew of Apollo 13, yes, I just described the Apollo 11 mission, and it was a lot more successful than I was able to make it with my breaking things. But Apollo 11 was a fantastic, successful space mission. They landed two astronauts on the moon. Three astronauts made it back safely to the Earth, splashdown, fantastic, amazing. Apollo 13, two missions later, was almost a disaster. If you're familiar with the story, you know that when Apollo 13's capsule got to about a day and a half into their journey, when they were about here, they still had the command module, they had the lunar module, they're headed to the moon. When they got to about a day and a half into their journey, suddenly there was an explosion. Thank you, that's an awesome sound effect. Suddenly there was an explosion. An oxygen tank on the side of the command module here had ruptured. They suddenly were blown off course, headed somewhere they didn't quite know yet. They were losing propellant, losing fuel, losing oxygen, and they were very scared. And everyone on Earth and Mission Control was also scared. But through some bravery and creativity and ingenuity, they finally got themselves onto the lunar lander, used it as a life support, got the craft righted, and the mission changed. The mission was no longer land two astronauts on the moon and get three astronauts home. It was just simply get three astronauts home. And that was it. So they finally figured out how they could do this. They had to only use the things that were on the spacecraft in order to get them home. And they figured out how they could slingshot themselves around the moon, they could get rid of the lunar module, and get themselves to have just enough fuel to get back to the Earth. And as they were getting back to the earth, because of the explosion, the heat shields on the bottom of the command module were damaged, and they weren't sure that the parachutes were going to work. So as they were entering the burning hot, extremely hot atmosphere of the earth, there was a chance that none of these astronauts were going to survive. So in that radio silence between mission control not having any radio contact with these astronauts, and it was about a minute and a half longer than they expected that to be, they finally looked up into the sky and saw the command module, and then saw the parachutes coming out, and they worked. The astronauts safely splashed down into the ocean, and all three of them were rescued. They got all three astronauts home, splashed down, the mission was over. What could have turned into a disaster still succeeded in their mission to get three astronauts home. Through teamwork and splashdown, everyone cheered. Mission Control was incredibly excited, and as were all of the families of those astronauts, that they survived. Your life might look a little bit like Apollo 11, or it might look a little bit more like Apollo 13. Whatever your life looks like, no matter what it looks like, the world is going to hate you if you follow Jesus. And the bottom line today is that the mission is not over. The mission is not over. Follow through in your life with Jesus. Whether it looks like Apollo 11 or Apollo 13, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you today for the opportunity to see how when we follow through in our faith with you and how you help us to follow through, you make a difference in our lives. God, because of you and because of the difference that you have made in our lives, help us to make a difference in the lives of others. May your love and your good news be real to us, and may we find faith in you. And God, as your words say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, I pray this for our friends here. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.
Thanks again.